Ohm's Law. Ohm's Law is one of the most fundamental principles in the study of electricity and is critical to understanding how biofeedback systems measure and manage electrical signals. It describes the relationship between voltage, V, current, I, and resistance, R, in a simple formula, V sus IXR. This means that the voltage across a conductor is equal to the current flowing through it multiplied by its resistance. This relationship allows clinicians and engineers to predict how changes in one of the three variables affect the others, providing a foundational tool for troubleshooting, equipment configuration, and understanding physiological signal flow. In clinical biofeedback settings, Ohm's Law helps practitioners ensure optimal signal quality. For example, if the resistance between an EEG electrode and the scalp is too high due to insufficient skin preparation, the current flow will decrease, and the system may fail to register meaningful voltage changes. Using Ohm's Law, we can understand that reducing resistance by cleaning, abrading, or applying conductive gel can increase current flow and improve signal clarity without altering the voltage generated by the client's body. Conversely, if a system requires a certain voltage to function properly, increasing the resistance due to cable wear or connector oxidation might reduce the current below acceptable levels. The law is also essential for amplifier design and operation. Amplifiers increase the voltage of small biological signals to levels that can be digitized and displayed. The gain setting of an amplifier effectively alters the apparent resistance, affecting how much current flows for a given input voltage. Understanding this interaction allows clinicians to adjust gain settings appropriately for different modalities, whether measuring microvolt-level EEG signals or millivolt-level EMG signals. Inaccurate gain settings can result in signal clipping, noise amplification, or signal loss, all of which compromise the accuracy of the biofeedback session. In a broader context, Ohm's Law also supports safety evaluations. Devices that deliver electrical stimulation, such as TCS or galvanic skin response training systems, must ensure that current remains within safe limits. By applying Ohm's Law, clinicians and device manufacturers can calculate safe resistance levels for a known voltage or set a maximum voltage to ensure that current never exceeds the threshold for tissue damage. This is particularly critical in pediatric, geriatric, or neurologically compromised populations, where tissue conductivity and tolerance may differ significantly. Ohm's Law further aids in interpreting impedance measurements. While resistance applies to DC circuits, impedance generalizes the concept to AC circuits, which include EEG, EMG, and EKG signals. Impedance includes both resistance and reactance, which depends on frequency, but the underlying relationship remains analogous to Ohm's Law. Knowing this allows clinicians to understand why impedance is reported in ohms and how to optimize it through electrode application and environmental control. Finally, a practical grasp of Ohm's Law enhances collaboration between clinicians and technical support teams. When issues arise, such as erratic signal readings or unexplained noise, being able to discuss voltage, current, and resistance in meaningful terms facilitates faster resolution. It also empowers clinicians to make on-the-fly decisions, such as switching electrode sites or recalibrating sensors, based on a clear understanding of the electrical dynamics involved. Mastery of Ohm's Law is thus indispensable for both theoretical understanding and day-to-day clinical problem-solving in biofeedback practice. Impedance. Impedance is a comprehensive measure of opposition to the flow of alternating current, AC, in a circuit, encompassing both resistance and reactance. It is measured in ohms, like resistance, but unlike resistance, impedance varies with frequency and includes contributions from inductive and capacitive elements. In biofeedback and neurofeedback systems, impedance is a critical parameter because most physiological signals, including EEG, EMG, and ECG, are AC in nature. High or unbalanced impedance at electrode sites can distort signals, introduce artifacts, and compromise the accuracy of feedback. Clinicians must understand impedance not only as a technical parameter, but as a practical diagnostic tool that influences signal quality and system performance. During a typical setup, impedance is measured between electrode pairs to assess the quality of the electrical connection with the skin. This measurement can be performed manually with an impedance meter or automatically by modern acquisition systems. Acceptable impedance values for clinical neurofeedback typically fall below 20 kPa, whereas research-grade recordings often require impedance under 5 kA to ensure data integrity. If impedance is too high, it often results from poor skin preparation, dried conductive gel, or insufficient pressure at the electrode site. Unequal impedance across channels can lead to differential signal gain and phase distortion, reducing the effectiveness of differential amplifiers and potentially causing false readings. Impedance mismatch between electrodes can also exacerbate noise issues. For example, when impedance at one electrode is significantly higher than at another, environmental electromagnetic interference, such as 50-60 Hz line noise, may affect one channel more than the other. This differential noise results in artifacts that may mimic or mask actual physiological activity. Clinicians must regularly verify that all electrode impedances are not only low, but also balanced. Most EEG acquisition software displays real-time impedance graphs or color-coded channel indicators, enabling clinicians to make quick, informed decisions about reapplying or replacing electrodes. Reactance, the frequency-dependent component of impedance, plays a less visible but equally important role. Biological tissues act as complex impedance sources, with capacitive properties introduced by cell membranes and resistive properties by interstitial fluids. At higher frequencies, capacitive reactance decreases, allowing more signal to pass. This phenomenon influences how well different frequency bands, such as delta, alpha, or beta, are recorded. For example, a poor electrode-skin interface may disproportionately attenuate high-frequency beta or gamma activity while allowing low-frequency signals to pass relatively unaltered. Understanding these effects helps clinicians interpret frequency domain data more accurately. Impedance also directly impacts amplifier performance. High impedance can cause signal attenuation, phase shifts, and saturation of amplifier inputs. Moreover, imbalanced impedance may contribute to DC offset issues, complicating baseline measurements and threshold settings in neurofeedback protocols. To mitigate these risks, most systems incorporate high input impedance amplifiers, often exceeding 100 million ohms, which are less affected by variations in electrode impedance. Nonetheless, optimal performance still requires good electrode preparation and ongoing impedance monitoring during sessions. Finally, impedance testing is a key safety and quality control procedure. Elevated impedance may indicate a failing electrode, a broken lead wire, or poor skin contact, any of which can degrade performance or pose safety concerns. Systems that use active electrodes or impedance compensation circuitry can reduce some of these effects, but clinician vigilance remains essential. Training should include practical demonstrations of impedance testing, interpretation of real-time feedback, and corrective techniques such as rehydrating gel, repositioning sensors, or gently abrading the skin. By mastering impedance concepts, clinicians enhance both the technical precision and therapeutic effectiveness of their biofeedback interventions. DC offset. DC offset refers to a persistent unidirectional voltage shift from an established baseline that can affect the accuracy and interpretation of physiological recordings. In ideal circumstances, an alternating signal like the EEG should oscillate symmetrically around a zero voltage baseline. However, due to a variety of factors, including electrode polarization, skin electrode interactions, amplifier imbalances, and environmental influences, the recorded signal may appear shifted either upward or downward from zero. This phenomenon introduces a DC component into what should be a purely AC signal, thereby complicating signal visualization and potentially masking important physiological information. Clinically, DC offset is significant for several reasons. First, it can distort waveforms, especially low-frequency components such as delta or slow cortical potentials. This distortion not only affects interpretation, but may also lead to inaccurate threshold setting in neurofeedback protocols. For instance, if a training protocol reinforces amplitude reductions in theta, but baseline drift artificially lowers the signal floor, the client may be rewarded inconsistently. In addition, prolonged exposure to large DC offsets can saturate amplifiers, causing clipping or flattening of the waveform, which further degrades signal quality. This is particularly problematic in high-sensitivity applications like QEEG, where precise amplitude calibration is essential. DC offset may arise from several procedural and environmental sources. The choice of electrode material and conductive medium influences the electrochemical reactions at the interface, which in turn affect offset stability. Silver-silver chloride electrodes are preferred in clinical settings because they produce stable half-cell potentials and minimal polarization. In contrast, plain metal electrodes without a chloride coating may lead to larger and more variable offsets. Environmental factors such as room temperature, humidity, and client perspiration can also influence offset behavior by altering skin conductivity or promoting electrochemical changes at the electrode site. Electrode preparation plays a critical role in minimizing DC offset. Proper skin cleansing and abrasion reduce impedance and help standardize the skin electrode interface, thereby reducing offset variability. Using adequate amounts of fresh conductive gel or paste ensures consistent contact and prevents drying during extended sessions. Clinicians should routinely monitor baseline voltage levels before and during sessions, especially in protocols sensitive to slow potentials or baseline fluctuations. Many acquisition systems provide real-time displays of offset values, allowing for immediate correction if thresholds are exceeded. Managing DC offset also involves appropriate equipment configuration. High-quality amplifiers typically include DC blocking capacitors or digital high-pass filters designed to remove slow drifts and keep the signal centered around zero. While these features can mitigate the visual effects of offset, they may also remove low-frequency physiological components, such as slow cortical potentials. Therefore, clinicians must balance the need for offset correction with the preservation of relevant signal content, selecting filter settings that align with their therapeutic goals. For example, a 0.5 Hz high-pass filter might reduce offset without eliminating meaningful delta activity. From a safety and quality control perspective, excessive or unstable DC offset can be an indicator of system malfunction, poor electrode contact, or signal contamination. Offset values exceeding 25,000 microvolts may indicate serious problems and should prompt re-evaluation of the setup. Best practices include checking offset values before starting feedback, inspecting electrode sites regularly, and recalibrating equipment as needed. In sum, understanding and managing DC offset is vital for maintaining the integrity of physiological recordings, ensuring accurate feedback delivery, and safeguarding both client outcomes and equipment performance. Ohm's Law for AC Circuits. Ohm's Law for AC Circuits is a crucial extension of the original principle that enables clinicians and engineers to analyze and manage alternating current, AC, signals, which are central to most physiological measurements in biofeedback. The classical Ohm's Law VECIXR describes the relationship between voltage, V, current, RI, and resistance, R, in direct current, DC, systems. In AC circuits, however, resistance alone does not account for all forms of opposition to current flow. Instead, we use impedance, Z, a more comprehensive measure that includes both resistance, real part, and reactance, imaginary part, to describe the circuit's total opposition to AC. This leads to the AC version of Ohm's Law, VEIXZ. Here, Z accounts for frequency-dependent effects caused by inductors and capacitors, which are often present in both biological tissues and electronic circuits. This distinction is especially important in EEG, EMG, and EKG systems, where the recorded signals are oscillatory and span a range of frequencies. For example, EEG signals typically range from 0.5 to 100 Hz, and each frequency band interacts differently with circuit elements. Capacitive reactance decreases as frequency increases, allowing higher frequency signals to pass more easily through capacitive components. Conversely, inductive reactance increases with frequency, opposing higher frequency currents. These properties influence how signals are transmitted through the body and recorded by electrodes. In practical terms, if impedance varies significantly across channels or frequencies, it can result in phase shifts, amplitude distortion, or frequency-specific signal loss, all of which impair the reliability of feedback protocols. Clinicians must also understand that high impedance in an AC system not only reduces current, but it can also create phase discrepancies between voltage and current. This phase difference is particularly relevant when interpreting the timing of physiological events. In neurofeedback, timing precision is critical for properly associating rewards with brain activity patterns. If signal delay or distortion occurs due to impedance issues, it may lead to ineffective training or reinforce incorrect neural responses. Ensuring impedance is low and balanced across channels minimizes such risks and improves the accuracy of real-time feedback. Modern biofeedback systems often use complex circuitry designed to compensate for variations in impedance. Differential amplifiers, input buffers, and shielded cables are engineered to maintain signal integrity in the face of common mode noise and dynamic impedance changes. Nevertheless, these features do not eliminate the need for clinician oversight. Real-time impedance monitoring and corrective actions, such as improving skin preparation or replacing degraded sensors, remain essential practices in any high-quality biofeedback protocol. Furthermore, the AC form of Ohm's law informs filter design and frequency selective amplification. Bandpass filters, which isolate specific EEG frequency bands, rely on impedance principles to permit desired frequencies while attenuating others. A deep understanding of how impedance shapes frequency response enables clinicians to choose appropriate filter settings for different protocols. For example, a bandpass filter might be set to 8 to 12 Hz to observe alpha activity during mindfulness training. If impedance is not well managed, that same filter could fail to isolate the alpha band accurately due to overlap or attenuation. Finally, using Ohm's law for AC circuits enhances diagnostic and safety competencies. Voltage spikes caused by impedance mismatches or cable discontinuities can produce artifacts or even damage equipment. Understanding the impedance voltage current relationship allows clinicians to anticipate such risks and apply preventive measures. It also equips them to communicate effectively with equipment manufacturers and biomedical technicians when troubleshooting complex issues. In sum, mastering Ohm's law in the AC context is essential for interpreting electrophysiological data, maintaining equipment performance, and delivering safe, effective biofeedback interventions. Open and close circuits. An electrical circuit must be complete or closed to allow current to flow and enable biofeedback instrumentation to function correctly. In a closed circuit, a continuous path exists for electrons or ions in biological systems to move from the power source through various components and back again. In contrast, an open circuit has a break somewhere in this path, such as a disconnected lead, broken wire, or faulty sensor preventing current from flowing and resulting in signal loss. Recognizing and managing open and closed circuits is essential for effective clinical operation and accurate physiological measurement. In clinical biofeedback practice, a closed circuit is typically confirmed through a successful behavioral or tracking test. For example, in EEG recording, instructing the client to close and open their eyes should produce predictable changes in alpha activity. If these changes are not observed, the clinician should suspect an open circuit somewhere in the signal chain. This could result from improperly seated electrode plugs, a broken wire within the cable sheath, or excessive impedance preventing current flow. Visual inspection and real-time signal monitoring can help quickly localize the issue. Modern systems often include built-in continuity testing functions. These diagnostics work by sending a small current through the circuit and measuring the return. If the current fails to complete the loop, the system flags the issue as an open circuit. Clinicians may also use handheld multimeters or impedance meters to check each lead for continuity manually. Understanding these tools and how to interpret their readings is vital for timely and accurate problem resolution. Additionally, signal dropout that coincides with client movement may suggest an intermittent open circuit caused by a loose or damaged cable. A closed circuit, while necessary, is not always sufficient to guarantee signal quality. The circuit must also be electrically balanced and free from unintended connections, such as shorts or ground loops. In well-designed closed circuits, signal flow is controlled and directed, minimizing noise and maximizing fidelity. For example, shielded cables and differential inputs ensure that common mode signals, such as 60 Hz line interference, are canceled out, preserving the fidelity of the physiological signal. Even in a closed circuit, improper shielding or poor electrode application can compromise data. Equipment maintenance and proper training can help prevent circuit-related issues. All cables should be routinely inspected for signs of wear, such as frayed insulation or exposed wires. Connectors should be cleaned and secured before each session. Electrodes must be correctly positioned and affixed with adequate conductive gel to ensure a reliable path for current flow. Clinical personnel should be trained not only to identify open circuits, but also to understand how closed circuits support valid physiological recording and safe system operation. From a safety perspective, the distinction between open and closed circuits is also relevant to fault detection. A blown fuse is an intentional design feature that opens a circuit when current exceeds a safe level, protecting equipment and the client from harm. Clinicians must understand that open circuits caused by protective measures, such as blown fuses or tripped ground fault interrupters, signal underlying problems that require investigation. In sum, proficiency in identifying, testing, and maintaining open and closed circuits forms the backbone of competent and safe biofeedback practice. Short circuit. A short circuit occurs when an unintended low-resistance connection forms between two points in an electrical circuit, allowing current to bypass the intended path. This condition is dangerous because it can dramatically increase current flow, generate excessive heat, and potentially damage components or injure clients. In biofeedback systems, a short circuit might occur due to frayed insulation, exposed wires touching each other or a grounded surface, or internal equipment faults. Unlike open circuits, which stop current flow altogether, short circuits redirect it in uncontrolled ways, often leading to overheating, signal corruption, or catastrophic failure. In clinical environments, short circuits typically manifest as sudden spikes in signal amplitude, unexplained noise across all channels, or complete equipment shutdown. If a device fails during a session, clinicians should immediately disconnect power and inspect all leads and connectors for physical damage. A multimeter or impedance meter can assist in locating short circuits by revealing abnormally low resistance between leads that should be isolated. Common causes include conductive gel bridging electrodes, pinched sensor cables, or internal amplifier faults. Clinicians must be trained to identify these symptoms promptly and avoid further system use until the fault is resolved. Short circuits may also occur within the body electrode interface. For example, if an excessive amount of conductive paste is applied and spills across adjacent electrode sites, it can create a shunt path that bypasses the intended measurement area. This is especially problematic in high-density EEG montages where electrodes are closely spaced. To prevent this, clinicians should apply gel sparingly and ensure it remains confined to the contact area. Electrodes should be inspected regularly for wear or damage, and any cable strain reliefs must be properly secured to prevent internal wire fractures that might lead to shorts. From a safety standpoint, short circuits pose a more immediate hazard than open circuits. If protective measures fail, a direct short in a line-powered system could cause current to travel through unintended pathways, including the client's body. This risk underscores the importance of isolation circuitry, such as opto-isolators and transformers, and the use of medical-grade power supplies that meet IEC 60601-1 standards. Ground fault interrupters, GFIs, provide another layer of protection by cutting off power when leakage current exceeds safe limits, typically 5 MEA. Clinicians should ensure all equipment is plugged into GFI-protected outlets and that all grounding practices are consistently followed. Short circuits also compromise signal quality, often producing artifacts that mimic physiological events. For instance, a sudden jump in EEG amplitude due to a short may resemble a seizure pattern or high beta burst, potentially leading to misdiagnosis or inappropriate feedback reinforcement. This highlights the need for careful signal inspection and artifact identification skills. High-quality systems often include software algorithms to flag improbable signal patterns, but manual review remains essential for clinical accuracy. Preventive maintenance is key to avoiding short circuits. Equipment should be inspected regularly for visible damage, stress tested for continuity, and stored in conditions that prevent degradation of cables and connectors. During sessions, clinicians should monitor for unusual smells, heat generation, or erratic device behavior, all potential indicators of an emerging short. In sum, recognizing, diagnosing, and preventing short circuits is critical for safe, reliable, and effective use of biofeedback instrumentation in any clinical setting. Safety precautions. Safety precautions in using biofeedback and neurofeedback systems are essential to protect both the client and the practitioner from electrical hazards, ensure reliable signal acquisition, and maintain regulatory compliance. These systems often involve sensitive electronic equipment connected to the human body via electrodes, sensors, and amplifiers. Although most biofeedback devices are low power and operate under stringent medical safety standards, improper setup, damaged components, or environmental factors can still introduce risk. Therefore, adherence to safety protocols is not optional. It is a foundational aspect of competent clinical practice. Clinicians must begin each session with a visual and functional equipment inspection. This includes checking electrode cables for fraying, ensuring connectors are secure, verifying that conductive gels or pastes are fresh and uncontaminated, and confirming that all sensors are properly labeled and matched to the corresponding channels. Devices should be powered up only after all physical connections are in place to prevent voltage transients that might harm sensitive inputs or confuse auto-calibration systems. Additionally, all systems should be routinely serviced according to manufacturer guidelines to prevent long-term degradation of electrical insulation or component integrity. Environmental control is another vital component of safety. Biofeedback systems should be used in dry, well-ventilated rooms that are free from clutter and protected from accidental liquid spills. Moisture can significantly lower skin resistance, increasing the risk of unintended current flow. Line-powered systems should always be connected to ground fault interrupter, GFI outlets, which cut power immediately if a leakage current is detected. Extension cords and outlet multipliers should be avoided unless they are specifically rated for medical equipment. Clinicians should avoid wearing conductive jewelry or handling exposed metal parts while operating the system to reduce the risk of accidental shock. Proper grounding is critical to both signal integrity and safety. All biofeedback devices should be connected to a common ground through a three-pronged outlet. Connecting components to different outlets on separate electrical circuits can result in ground loops voltage differences that introduce noise and potentially dangerous currents. Where possible, all components, amplifiers, encoders, computers, should draw power from a single surge-protected power strip plugged into a GFI outlet. Some systems include optical isolation or transformer-based isolation to separate client-side components from the main power supply, further enhancing protection. User and client behavior also influence safety. Clients should be instructed not to touch metal surfaces, unplug cables, or move their bodies suddenly during recording unless directed to do so. Clinicians should remain attentive throughout the session and be ready to stop the recording immediately if any sign of overheating, electrical odor, or equipment malfunction occurs. In settings involving children, the elderly, or individuals with neurological sensitivities, clinicians must be especially cautious about the duration of contact, skin preparation methods, and total energy exposure, even though this is minimal in most systems. Finally, documentation and training are integral to safety assurance. All personnel operating biofeedback equipment should receive thorough instruction in electrical safety principles, equipment-specific protocols, and emergency procedures. Clinics should maintain up-to-date records of safety inspections, incident reports, and compliance with local electrical codes and medical device regulations. By implementing these safety precautions consistently and comprehensively, clinicians uphold professional standards, safeguard client well-being, and ensure the long-term reliability and legal defensibility of their practice. Exposure to current can injure and cause death. While biofeedback systems typically use low voltages and currents, understanding the physiological effects of electrical exposure is vital for ensuring safety. Even relatively small currents can have significant effects on the human body. A current of just 1 milliampere may be perceptible as a tingling sensation, whereas 5 milliamperes is sufficient to cause a painful shock. At 10 to 20 milliamperes, muscle contractions can occur, potentially preventing the individual from releasing a live wire. A current of 50 to 100 milliamperes passing through the chest may induce ventricular fibrillation, a potentially fatal condition in which the heart's electrical activity becomes erratic, preventing effective pumping. These risks underscore the importance of preventing unintended current paths through the body. Biofeedback systems must be designed to electrically isolate the client from line power sources, typically through optical isolation, transformer separation, or battery operation. Electrical safety standards such as IEC 60601 specify allowable leakage current levels, generally under 0.1 milliampere for patient-connected equipment, and all medical-grade biofeedback devices must comply with these limits. In addition, equipment should always be used in accordance with the manufacturer's guidelines to avoid configurations that could inadvertently increase current exposure. Environmental factors also influence the risk of electrical injury. Wet skin significantly lowers resistance, increasing current flow for a given voltage. This is particularly relevant in warm, humid environments or when clients perspire during sessions. Clinicians should ensure that the skin is dry before applying electrodes and that conductive gel is applied only at the intended sites. Additionally, spilled liquids near line-powered devices should be cleaned immediately, and equipment should be elevated above floor level to prevent pooling under base units. Training is essential to prepare clinicians for managing electrical emergencies. All personnel should be able to recognize symptoms of electrical shock, such as involuntary muscle contractions, burns at contact points, loss of consciousness, or cardiac symptoms. Emergency protocols should include immediate cessation of current flow, unplugging equipment, assessment of vital signs, and initiation of CPR if indicated. Clinics should also keep appropriate contact information for emergency services readily accessible. Proactive system design and clinician vigilance help ensure that such emergencies remain rare. Most modern devices include built-in safeguards such as current-limiting circuits, redundant grounding paths, and automatic shutdown features if abnormal current levels are detected. Nonetheless, clinicians should routinely inspect power cords, electrode connections, and external transformers for damage or wear. Visual checks and routine electrical safety testing with specialized equipment, such as insulation resistance testers or leakage current meters, should be part of scheduled maintenance. Ultimately, preventing exposure to hazardous current levels is a shared responsibility among device manufacturers, clinical personnel, and facility managers. A strong foundation in electrical safety principles, paired with ongoing vigilance and emergency preparedness, ensures that biofeedback remains not only effective, but also inherently safe. Ground fault interrupt circuit. A ground fault interrupt, GFI circuit, is a vital safety feature in clinical environments that use electrical equipment, including biofeedback and neurofeedback systems. GFIs are designed to detect leakage currents, electrical currents that escape from the intended circuit path and potentially travel through unintended paths such as the human body. When a leakage current of typically more than 5 milliamperes is detected, the GFI circuit interrupts the electrical supply within milliseconds, preventing potential injury or equipment damage. This protective mechanism is especially important when clients are connected to electronic systems through electrodes, as even minor faults could result in hazardous exposure. GFIs are commonly integrated into wall outlets or power strips in clinical settings. Clinicians should ensure that all line-powered equipment is connected through a GFI-protected outlet, and they should routinely test GFI functionality using the built-in test and reset buttons. A properly functioning GFI can be the difference between a minor inconvenience and a life-threatening incident. For instance, if a conductive gel spill creates a bridge between an active electrode and a grounded surface, a GFI will detect the resulting current imbalance and immediately disconnect the circuit. The importance of GFIs extends to both signal quality and client safety. Leakage currents, even when insufficient to cause shock, can introduce low-frequency noise into biofeedback signals, degrading data integrity. Clinicians may misinterpret this interference as physiological activity unless they recognize its characteristic pattern. By cutting off power during a leakage event, a GFI not only protects the client, but also eliminates a potential artifact source, helping maintain the integrity of clinical recordings. GFIs are also essential in multi-device setups, where the use of separate power sources can create ground potential differences that lead to ground loops. These loops can cause unwanted currents to circulate between devices, introducing noise and increasing the risk of short circuits. Connecting all devices, computers, amplifiers, monitors to the same GFI-protected outlet minimizes these risks and ensures a common electrical reference, enhancing both safety and signal consistency. In mobile or temporary setups, such as portable neurofeedback systems used in schools or home care environments, clinicians should bring their own GFI-equipped power strips to maintain consistent safety standards. Portable GFIs are inexpensive, readily available, and compatible with most electrical outlets, making them a practical solution for extending clinical-grade protections beyond the office. These devices are particularly important in non-clinical environments where building wiring may not meet the same regulatory standards. Training and documentation are critical to effective GFI implementation. All clinical personnel should understand how GFIs work, how to test their functionality, and how to respond to a tripped circuit. If a GFI is triggered during a session, clinicians should halt the procedure, investigate potential causes such as liquid contact or equipment faults, and verify that all safety measures are still intact before restarting. Maintaining logs of GFI tests and circuit trips can also help track recurring issues, identify faulty devices, and support compliance with facility safety protocols. In sum, the ground fault interrupt circuit is a simple yet indispensable component of electrical safety in any biofeedback practice. Optical isolation. Optical isolation, also known as opto-isolation, is a critical safety mechanism used in medical and biofeedback devices to separate the client-connected circuitry from components powered by an external electrical source. This technique uses light to transmit signals across an electrically insulating barrier, ensuring that any electrical faults or surges from the power supply side cannot reach the patient. An optical isolator typically consists of a light-emitting diode, LED, and a photodetector, such as a phototransistor, housed within the same module. When a signal is generated on the input side, it activates the LED, which emits light. This light travels across a non-conductive gap and is detected by the phototransistor, which then reproduces the signal on the output side without any electrical connection between the two circuits. This form of isolation is especially important in environments where electrodes are applied directly to a client's skin or scalp. Even low voltage currents can pose a safety risk if line-powered equipment malfunctions or if the system experiences a surge. Optical isolation ensures that any failure in the high voltage part of the system cannot transmit current to the client, significantly reducing the risk of electric shock. Because the only medium crossing the isolation barrier is light, not electrons, optical isolation is one of the most reliable methods of ensuring patient safety in electrically sensitive clinical applications. In addition to enhancing safety, optical isolation improves signal integrity by eliminating ground loops and minimizing electromagnetic interference. In complex setups involving multiple devices, such as EEG systems, computers, stimulators, and feedback displays, differing ground potentials can introduce circulating currents that distort low-amplitude physiological signals. Optical isolators break these electrical loops, enabling accurate measurement of signals such as EEG, EMG, or EDA without contamination by external electrical noise. This capability is particularly vital in research or diagnostic settings where data accuracy is paramount. Many modern biofeedback systems incorporate optical isolators at key points in the signal chain, such as between the sensor interface and the main amplifier, or between the amplifier and the data acquisition system. These components are typically integrated into the design and are not user serviceable, but clinicians should be aware of their presence and purpose. During equipment selection or troubleshooting, clinicians should inquire whether the system includes optical isolation and verify that it complies with medical safety standards, such as IEC 60601-1. Optical isolation is also useful in telemetry and wireless systems. In some configurations, optical links are used to transmit signals between mobile sensor units and base stations, ensuring both electrical isolation and high-speed communication. These configurations are especially valuable in environments where clients must move freely, such as during neurofeedback for athletic performance or behavioral interventions for children. To ensure proper function of optical isolators, systems should be kept clean, dry, and within specified temperature ranges. Although the optical components are sealed and durable, excessive heat or moisture can degrade their performance over time. Routine calibration and performance verification help ensure that signal transmission remains accurate and that no part of the signal chain has been compromised. In summary, optical isolation provides a robust, elegant solution to the dual challenges of client safety and signal fidelity, and its presence is a hallmark of high-quality, medically appropriate biofeedback systems. Fiber optic connections. Fiber optic connections provide a highly reliable and safe method of transmitting signals in biofeedback and neurofeedback systems by using light pulses rather than electrical currents. These thin, flexible strands of glass or plastic transmit light signals across long distances with minimal signal loss and zero electrical conductivity. This inherently isolates the client from potential electrical hazards, making fiber optics especially valuable in sensitive applications where safety and signal fidelity are paramount. Because they do not conduct electricity, fiber optic cables eliminate the possibility of ground loops, leakage currents, and electrical interference, ensuring a safer and more accurate data transmission path between client-side devices and processing units. In biofeedback systems, fiber optic technology is most often integrated into the communication link between a portable encoder worn by the client and the receiving base unit or computer interface. For example, in EEG systems designed for mobile or ambulatory use, signals from the scalp electrodes may be digitized and transmitted via fiber optics to a stationary data acquisition system. This setup not only reduces the chance of electrical interference, but also enables the client to move freely during assessment or training. The absence of metal conductors in the transmission path ensures that environmental electromagnetic noise, such as from power lines, fluorescent lighting, or medical imaging equipment does not contaminate the recorded physiological signals. Another advantage of fiber optic connections is their resistance to data loss and signal degradation. Optical signals are less affected by attenuation than electrical signals in traditional copper cables. This makes fiber optics ideal for high-resolution, high-bandwidth signal transmission, particularly in settings that require simultaneous monitoring of multiple channels at high sampling rates. For instance, in 19-channel EEG neurofeedback with artifact rejection and real-time spectral analysis, the system must process and transmit vast quantities of data quickly and without interruption. Fiber optic systems excel in these scenarios by maintaining signal clarity and temporal precision. From a safety standpoint, using fiber optics eliminates the risk of current accidentally reaching the client, even in the event of a catastrophic failure in the receiving system. Because the signal pathway involves only light transmission and no electrical contact, even faults in the receiving hardware, such as power surges, internal short circuits, or software errors, pose no danger to the client. This property is especially critical in pediatric, geriatric, or neurologically vulnerable populations, where safety margins must be conservatively maintained. Installation and maintenance of fiber optic systems require specific procedures to ensure optimal performance. The fibers must be handled carefully to avoid kinking or scratching, as any physical damage can significantly reduce light transmission efficiency. Connectors and optical transceivers should be kept clean and properly aligned to prevent signal loss. Clinicians and technicians should be trained in the correct handling and inspection of fiber optic components, including using optical power meters and visual fault locators to diagnose and resolve transmission issues. As technology advances, integrating fiber optic connections into consumer-grade biofeedback systems is becoming more feasible and widespread. Their unmatched safety profile and immunity to electrical noise make them an ideal choice for advanced neurophysiological research, performance training, and clinical diagnostics. In summary, fiber optic connections combine the highest levels of safety and signal fidelity, reinforcing their status as a gold standard in the design and deployment of modern biofeedback instrumentation. Telemetry. Telemetry refers to the wireless transmission of physiological signals from a remote or wearable device to a base station or computer system for processing and display. This method eliminates the need for physical cables between the client and the data acquisition system, offering increased mobility, comfort, and clinical flexibility. In biofeedback and neurofeedback applications, telemetry is often implemented via Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, or proprietary radio frequency, RF, protocols, allowing continuous monitoring of biosignals, such as EEG, EMG, EDA, or heart rate variability, HRV, even while the client is walking, exercising, or engaging in naturalistic behavior. A major advantage of telemetry is its ability to facilitate remote or ambulatory biofeedback training. For example, a portable telemetry-enabled EEG headset can be worn during daily activities, transmitting brainwave data to a nearby receiver or cloud-based platform for real-time analysis. This capability expands the reach of neurofeedback beyond the clinic, enabling at-home training sessions, field-based assessments, and ecological momentary interventions. Such systems are particularly valuable for clients with mobility limitations or for those undergoing exposure-based therapies in real-world environments. From a safety standpoint, telemetry significantly reduces the risk of electrical injury. Because the client is not physically connected to line-powered equipment, there is no direct conductive path for electrical current to reach the body. Most telemetry encoders are battery-powered and electrically isolated from the receiver, ensuring that even in the event of hardware malfunction or power surge, the client remains safe. Additionally, the absence of tethers eliminates trip hazards and cable-related artifacts, improving both safety and signal quality. Signal fidelity in telemetry systems depends on several factors, including transmission range, sampling rate, and data compression. Clinicians must ensure that the telemetry system they choose offers sufficient bandwidth and resolution to capture the physiological variables of interest. Some systems use lossy compression to reduce data load, which may degrade signal quality. Others transmit raw data with high sampling rates, offering superior accuracy but requiring more robust computing infrastructure. Reliable telemetry also depends on minimizing electromagnetic interference from nearby wireless devices, structural barriers, or overlapping communication channels. Telemetry-equipped systems must be regularly maintained and tested to ensure signal integrity and battery life. Rechargeable telemetry devices should be fully charged before each session and monitored for signs of battery degradation. Firmware should be kept up to date, and connectivity should be validated at the start of every session. Clinicians should also establish secure wireless protocols to protect patient data, particularly in systems that transmit to cloud-based platforms. Encryption, authentication, and compliance with data protection standards, such as HIPAA, are essential components of ethical telemetry usage. In summary, telemetry represents a transformative advancement in biofeedback system design. Enabling wireless, portable, and non-restrictive monitoring of physiological signals enhances client comfort, clinical versatility, and research capability, while maintaining high standards of safety and data security. As the field continues to evolve, telemetry will play an increasingly central role in delivering personalized, accessible, and effective biofeedback interventions. Conclusion. A comprehensive understanding of electrical and clinical safety is fundamental to the ethical and effective practice of biofeedback and neurofeedback. This lecture has explored the essential scientific principles underpinning electrical systems, including voltage, current, resistance, impedance, and their relationships described by Ohm's law. These concepts are not merely theoretical. They directly inform every aspect of system setup, signal interpretation, and client safety in clinical practice. Practitioners must understand how electrical parameters influence signal quality, system behavior, and artifact generation to ensure reliable and meaningful data. The discussion also addressed key safety mechanisms, including ground fault interrupt circuits, optical isolation, fiber optic links, and telemetry that protect clients from accidental electrical exposure. Each of these technologies functions by interrupting or isolating potentially hazardous current pathways, and their presence reflects the high standards of safety embedded in modern biofeedback instrumentation. Equally important are clinician-led safety practices, such as equipment inspection, proper skin preparation, impedance balancing, and emergency readiness. Moreover, we emphasize the clinical and operational importance of real-time monitoring tools, like impedance meters and tracking tests, which allow clinicians to detect and respond to circuit faults, open leads, and short circuits before they compromise safety or data quality. Understanding the physics of volume conduction and the implications of electrode placement, gel conductivity, and DC offset reinforces a clinician's capacity to distinguish real physiological signals from artifacts. As the technology evolves, innovations like wireless telemetry and fiber optic transmission will continue to enhance safety, portability, and accessibility. These advances allow for more naturalistic training environments and broaden the reach of biofeedback interventions, particularly for remote, pediatric, and special needs populations. However, the benefits of these tools can only be fully realized by practitioners who maintain a strong foundation in the electrical sciences. In conclusion, ensuring safety and precision in biofeedback requires integrating theoretical knowledge, clinical judgment, and technical skill. By mastering the principles outlined in this lecture and implementing them rigorously in practice, clinicians uphold the integrity of their discipline and deliver care that is both effective and safe. This integration of science, ethics, and vigilance defines the best of contemporary biofeedback practice.